So according to the Biden campaign's communications director, Michael Tyler, he says weapons of war have no place on the streets of America, but Trump's justices have decided the gun lobby is more important than the safety of our kids and our communities. And this statement goes on to essentially say that if Americans are looking for the candidate the Biden campaign argues that cares about the gun violence crisis in this country, there is only one person in this race, Michael Tyler, the communications director, says, that has been running on a proven record of successfully taking on the gun lobby, and there's only one candidate running on a promise to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. That's President Biden. So, of course, during the course of this administration, President Biden has been very clear on that. After repeated mass shootings that we have seen in this country, tragically, time and time again, you've seen President Biden come out and say that he's proud that there was a bipartisan effort to pass some legislation when it comes to gun violence, but that he wants to do more, and he has always put that in the frame of wanting to ban assault weapons.
So this is just some of the coverage of this SCOTUS case, because it's SCOTUS season, that came out this morning. And I don't know when we'll get the, I know everyone's, I think everybody's waiting for the presidential immunity one, although this one was a pretty big one. And it had to do with the bump stocks. You guys remember this bump stock battle that we've had. It had to do with all of this, because this was the, it was under the Trump, it was the Trump administration that made this determination. And I'm going to kind of set up why it went this way, because there was a lot of behind the scenes stuff that was happening. And I'll dive deep into it today. And we're also going to talk about some of the stuff with G7. We're going to get into some culture stuff, because it's Alphabet Month. And, you know, as a result, every single day there's like something going on with the Alphabet Mafia, which is what I feel like they should be called from at this point forward. It's just the Alphabet Mafia. Just refer to it as that, because, you know, and it's all the Trans-Tifa people too. It's all Trans-Tifa. So we'll get into all of that and more here as we get started on this Friday. So welcome to the radio program. This ruling, I actually am surprised that it wasn't a 9-0 ruling, if I'm being honest about it. And the reason that I'm surprised that it wasn't a 9-0 ruling is really because of the nature of the case. This wasn't a case that was about bump stocks or even Second Amendment stuff. It wasn't even about that. This was a case that was about the administrative state, and it was about bureaucracy, and it had to do with the nature of, you know, ultimately, can the ATF, which is a group of unelected bureaucrats, are they going to be able to make law in place of Congress? And that's what really this is all about. I mean, it's about whether or not the ATF, which is an agency, you didn't elect any of these people. None of these people ran campaigns. None of these people tried to go after your vote. These are people that were selected. And, well, I mean, the head of the ATF is typically picked by the president. And then, of course, you know, Congress has to act. And then these individuals, and this wasn't the first time that they've done this, it was the administrative state exceeding its authority. Now, we saw something similar with this as it pertains to the issue of the rent moratorium and the rent moratorium situation, where you had another administrative state that was seeking to tell people that they didn't have to pay. They didn't have to pay their rent. And it was the CDC that was getting involved in it. This wasn't even the ATF. That was the CDC that did that. And of course, that ended up getting struck down in a different ruling, a different court. I think it was Ninth Circuit. So there is standing to go after the administrative state like this. And that's what this was. And I'm happy about the ruling, because I think it was the right thing to do. However, it's not a statement on the Second Amendment, and it's not a statement on rights limitation or anything to that measure. I was reading the opinion earlier today, and I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad to see that at least we're or this Supreme Court seems to be more motivated than on limiting the administrative state almost than anything else. But then, of course, you know, you have Ketanji Brown Jackson, you have Sonia Sotomayor, you have Elena Kagan, who apparently thought it was completely okay to act and have a group of unelected bureaucrats make law, which I know it's totally fine for them to do that. Well, Ketanji Brown Jackson can't even define what a woman is. So are you surprised? Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And Sonia Sotomayor thinks that you can, that however often you press the trigger, that mean that that's whether or not it's a fully automatic gun or not. Right. Remember, I know you remember her during the arguments on that. That, yeah, it was a 6-3 decision. So those were the three. Clarence Thomas held, he wrote the majority, and he underscored it, that a semi-auto is equipped with the bump stocks, not a machine gun. Now, why does this matter to you? It matters to you exactly for the reason that anything that has to do with any part of your life that could be affected by the administrative state matters to you, because this is this administrative state exceeding its authority and making law where Congress should. And as I've already told you, we've saw this already with the CDC and the rent moratorium. We are seeing it with the pistol brace thing is going to go the same way, because it's going to be because of this case. It's going to be because it's an administrative agency that exceeded its authority. If Congress wants to limit bump stocks, they have to write the law to do so. You can't alter the interpretation and impact of the Second Amendment by putting out some edict through the ATF. That's just not how, you just can't do it that way. Now, I'm going to explain coming up why that is, because there is a reason why it was left to the ATF to do. If you remember at the time, the Republicans in Congress were getting a ton of pressure to do something about this. This was in the wake of the Las Vegas shooting, which we still don't know a lot about, which is very interesting that there's a lot of information that was just kind of kept. I mean, there's a lot more that we know now, but there's a lot we don't know. But it was all in the wake of that. But I'm going to, here coming up, get into the reasoning and how all of that came to be, because there was a lot of pressure being put on Republicans. They didn't want Democrats to be able to say that Republicans were doing nothing and then get the momentum to be able to pass something and get these moderate Republicans on, you know, in the House. I remember, you know, during the Parkland days, particularly after Parkland, they had, I mean, there were Republicans right and left that were caving on an assault weapons ban. That is fact. You don't know that, but I know all the discussions that were going on in D.C. They were caving, dropping like flies, like Marco Rubio on that town hall stage. Right after left, they were dropping like flies in terms of supporting not only an assault weapons ban, but they were also backing red flag laws. They were all coming together to, as quickly as they could, to see how they could make this, how they could make this limit the after effects of this. And it was that was a very dangerous time for Second Amendment rights. And it a very dangerous time. And it was from that storm, you ended up getting, you know, the ATF was allowed to do things so Congress wouldn't. Because if Congress could do it, then you'd have to fight like hell to get it undone if it was legislation. Well, if the ATF does it with an edict, then all you would have to do is have a president undo the edict or do what we're doing now, what we're seeing and litigate it. And so that was considered the safer route, because the general thought was that you can only fight so much, and then your fight can only be as there's a limit to how much success you can have fighting this. So that was the reasoning to the approach of it. No joke. So we're going to talk more about that coming up. Also, a couple of other things, because Biden in Italy for G7, he really bit the head off of some of these reporters over there. And let's play this. This is audio soundbite 5. Listen to this. He gets so mad at this reporter for asking a question that he didn't want to answer. Listen.
American reporter, Josh Weingrove, Bloomberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for President Zelensky shortly on the announcements, but if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you about your discussions on the situation in Gaza here at the summit. You were asked just a short time ago about it after the skydiving demonstration. Can you give us your assessment of Hamas's response? And do you believe that they are trying to work towards a deal, or is this response working against a deal? And what is your message to allies, including those here at the G7, about what more, if anything, the U.S. can do to drive towards a peace agreement. Thank you.
I wish you guys would little play by the rules a little bit. I'm here to talk about a critical situation in Ukraine. You asked me another subject. I'll be happy to answer it in detail later. But the bottom line is that we've made an agreement. I've laid out an approach that has been endorsed by the UN Security Council, by the G7, by the Israelis, and the biggest hang-up so far is Hamas refusing to sign on, even though they have submitted something similar. Whether it had not
occurred. So he's mad. We don't need to play this whole thing. He's mad because I guess that's not a question that he wanted to speak to. He wanted to have a question about Ukraine. And he's standing there with Zelensky. He didn't want to talk about Gaza. They had the White House Press Correspondents Association that put out a statement saying they're going to ask whatever they're going to ask. And that's all there is to it, which I thought was kind of interesting. Because this isn't the first time they've had to sort of slap his hand at that. But he was not happy that they asked a question that was he didn't want to talk about that. He wanted to talk only about Ukraine. He did not want to talk about Gaza. He wasn't prepped to answer any questions about that. I don't know if you read any of this. There was a detailed account of the rescue operation, the four hostages that were rescued inside of Gaza that the IDF went in to get, literally a step-by-step description of how that op went off and how they were gathering information and how they were going into and the reconnaissance that they were doing. They found out where the hostages were being kept. They surveilled the area. They were doing everything possible to limit loss of life because Hamas is right there in with all the other refugees. And some of the refugees are helping Hamas hide these hostages. I mean, they've been in regular average everyday houses with other families. And so the IDF sent a team in, a spec ops team, to go in and rescue them. We're going to talk about that coming up because it's unbelievable. But even in spite of all of that, there's a new poll out. Gaza still overwhelmingly supports Hamas. Not even kidding you. New survey that is out. And it's not much different. It only fell 4% since the same survey was taken in March. We're going to talk about that coming up. We're also going to get into some of the latest, the policy, Biden administration. The right had a massive fight in France last night. Like, people got locked out. Cops were called. I'm not even kidding. Typical French. We're going to talk about that as well, because I'm just fascinated by all of that. Do you guys remember back in 2020 when store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? That was such a bummer. Actually, it sucked out loud. Nobody liked that. It was hard to find stuff. Like, we were calling up all these different retailers like, do you guys have any coming in? Do you guys have this coming in? Well, what if you didn't have to worry about that? So this is where Ammo Squared comes in. They can help you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Like, you never have to worry about it. So it's truly automated. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. I've never been more happy about anything automatic before in my life, you know, other than, you know, automatic rifles. Pick your calibers, you set your budget, you select a shipping trigger, and that's it. And then your ammo builds up over time and it's delivered automatically when you want it. And then as the ammo builds up in your account, it's stored for free in their super swanky climate controlled warehouse. It's secure, it's insured, it's safe from threats until you want it. Especially in these tough times with rising crime, this is a very budget-friendly way to ensure that you always have ammunition when you need it. It's customizable to your budget. Build your stockpile. It's like contributing to a savings account or a 401k. And it was started in Idaho in 2015. They have over 30,000 customers across the country. It's Ammo Squared, a unique way to get your ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. It's awesome. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget. Watch it grow. Visit them at ammosquared.com/Dana to get started and get free ammo when you sign up. That's ammosquared.com/Dana to sign up and get your free ammo.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The Pentagon wants to feed our troops experimental lab-grown meat to reduce the CO2 footprint. It's called BioMade. It's a crappy public-private company that's gotten $500 million in funding from the Department of Defense. BioMade, a crappy public-private company that got $500 million, taxpayer dollars. I love that I work my ass off and that you do too, so we can pay this stupid company that probably rustled somebody's jimmies in order to get some federal dollars so they can make their stupid lab-grown meat. Yeah, that apparently is not what they're going to be feeding our troops so that they can lower their CO2 footprint. Every time I hear a headline about somebody wanting to lower their CO2 footprint, I'm going to buy styrofoam and I'm going to throw it out in the world. Every damn time. I'm going to take styrofoam, I'm going to start using paper plates, plastic, everything, and I'm just going to start throwing it out. Every time I hear it, that's what these people are going to force me to do. Stop it.
Put my CO2 footprint up your...
I'm going to put my CO2 footprint up your... Yeah, that's right. I can't even get through. We're coming back to this. I'm keeping this out here. Keeping it out here. A Pentagon official reveals a 7-minute encounter with a growing blue UFO, probably because he ate some lab-grown meat and he hallucinated. He said it emitted enough energy to power a small city. Again, it's probably that lab-grown meat, I'm just saying. Tropical rainstorms in South Florida have led to flight delays. We said yesterday that was already, DeSantis had already declared a state of emergency. Streets have been jammed with stalled cars. A crocodile was terrorizing an Australian town. So if you had to pick a champion between the Australians and a crocodile, who do you got? If you put your money on the Australians, you're the winner, because a remote Australian community took revenge on this thing. They ate the 12-foot beast. It was eating pets and chasing children. It was chasing their children. They said it was a significant risk to the community. So they killed him, cooked him up, and ate him. And I hope that they ate it by a body of water so all the other crocodiles could see this is what happens when you mess. You get cooked and eat. That's what happens. When you mess, you get cooked and eat. And the WNBA is on track to lose roughly $50 million this year, despite the explosion in their popularity because of Caitlin Clark. And they're probably going to lose more because they keep having tantrums. I'm telling you. Coming up, more on the SCOTUS ruling, policy, G7, lots more. Stick with us. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
LA City Council members Hugo Soto Martinez and Nithya Raman were on hand today to help remove the signs. They say the no cruising and no U-turn signs were put up in the 1990s to prevent people in the gay community from meeting up with other gay people.
I was also surprised that these U-turn signs were still up. And at first, you know, they seem a little, it's just a no U-turn sign. But when you learn the history of it and you realize that these were used to profile gay people, it's so important that we have these removed.
The LA City Council
members I don't understand that. Somebody explain this to me. It's a U-turn sign. Is that what it is? It's like, it doesn't mean it's not, you have to deep dive. If that's actually what the meaning was, that's such a deep dive. Nobody knows.
A U-turn is definitely not straight. You think they'd be for that.
Well, U-turn means go back the other way. I mean, we have these signs all over in Texas. You can U-turn, you know, you can U-turn everywhere. It's kind of a pain in the ass. You can U-turn like almost everywhere in Texas. You know, that can, it means the gays can just, they can just walk all over the sidewalks, all over the streets. Apparently, that's what that means. I mean, if I feel we're at the point We're at the point right now in culture and in policy where I actually, Kane and I have to double and triple check because we don't know if it's satire or real. Right. Like, this is a story I was like, no.
I thought it was fake. I thought it was a satire, funny comedy skit. But no.
What do you, how do they interpret these signs to mean that the gays can't be there at whatever time? They said that, well, the police would deliberately lure men that they suspected of being gay in order to arrest them. They didn't just arrest you for being gay. Not in, you know, like, they would try to get you for prostitution or something like that or solicitation. But
why are you gay?
There had to have been a crime there, right? That's Juan's absolute favorite sound. That's his favorite sound bite ever. He cannot. Every time we play it, it doesn't matter. Days later, he'll laugh his head off at it. I love
it. Why are you gay?
He just chuckles every single time he hears it. I mean, it's Alphabet Month. Why couldn't they just put a sign up? Because it feels like, I don't know if you saw in the video where they were taking the U-turn signs. It looked like a busy intersection that was maybe kind of dangerous if you did a U-turn there. You know what I mean? Why don't you just put a sign up that says, this doesn't mean you gay people? Wouldn't that have solved the problems without having to take down signs? This is so dumb. Golly. Or just, you know, Kane, just put up one of them rainbow murals up on the street there. Right. Because only the gays can cross there. There's an invisible. Have you ever tried crossing in a rainbow crosswalk? You can't. Nope. You can't. It's like it knows. It knows. You can't. You got to walk around it. There's an invisible force field there. I don't know how they figured it out. I feel like we should be weaponizing that, you know, and using it in on the battlefield. But instead, where it's only applicable to, they keep all this stuff for themselves. You can't walk on their crosswalk because of the invisible force field and lesbians are invisible. They keep all this stuff to themselves. I mean, we could be turning this into a massive spec ops outfit, and you're not playing fair. I don't know. They said that one of the signs is going to be donated to the National Gay and Lesbian Archives. What is that? Why? I didn't even know one of those existed. It's like the archive of Sycorax and Warhammer. Well, this is the gay and lesbian part. I don't know what this means. What do they have there at the Gay and Lesbian Archives, Kane? A history of gay sex. I don't know. What? I gotta Google it. We're Google. Shh, live radio. We're Googling it.
Why
Google,
are you gay?
Google, Google. Let's go out and play. Google, Google, Google. Oh, here it is. Oh, don't Google it. Don't do it. Uh-oh. Well.
Too late.
Well, the first thing that came up was three dudes in leather bondage. So. I'm not joking.
What the heck did you put in the search bar?
I went to their official website, dude. Hold up. I got to put this in Slack. It's, that's their gay archives. That's what's in the gay archives. Hold up.
So four separate times I've heard the explanation of why they don't like the no U-turn signs, and I still don't know why they don't like the no U-turn signs. I don't get it. I still don't get it.
Well, it's going to this museum, the sign. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even know that museum was there.
That's a .edu site?
Dude, did you go to it?
I just did.
You just looked at it.
You put it in there.
Steve said it's by the founding daddies. Oh, my gosh.
Stop.
Oh, why is it like this?
Do not even encourage that.
So there it is. That's exactly what I thought it would be, if I'm being real. I thought it would be that. You know, so all the gay stuff goes there. So they thought they were going to put one of those signs there. So I guess you can't be naked, dressed in leather straps on that street. Going the other way, you can't.
If there's a sign up.
I just can't. Everything is so dumb.
Does .edu mean it's taxpayer funded?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's a dot. Yeah, well, because isn't USC, isn't, hang on. We're doing this live. Because isn't it public?
Means they get something, right?
Oh, yeah, it is. Look at that.
It's government.
Oh, it's a private. Well, it's a private institution that gets a lot of grants. They get a lot of grant money. So yeah, some of your taxpayer money in some ways involved in this website. It took me like a whole 2 seconds to look up. Look at that. I'm not going to tell you guys what the website is because you definitely cannot pull it up at work. Do not pull that because it'll have .edu on it. Your boss ain't going to believe you. Ain't going to believe you.
So now what am I going to start getting in my timelines? Am I going to start getting some dominatrix stuff?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because it's on this.
I'm just trying to figure out what they collect there. Why they need a whole gay archive.
Good God.
Is it... We just have collections and flags for everything now. Because see, if everybody has a flag, then nobody's flag matters. Right? Remember, that was one of my favorite lines in The Incredibles. But he didn't say flags. He said, if everyone's special, then no one is. See? That's what it is. But the no U-turn sign is... They said they wanted to curb the gays from roaming the streets to hook up. I think that the gays roaming the streets is like your them worrying about the signs about that is the least of their problems. I don't even know any gay people that would walk around in California right now because they're tripping over like, you know, needles and turds. I mean, that's all they're slipping on everything. That's all it is. There's a literal poop map, guys. So come on. They're not walking around outside. Just it's not happening. All right. So I had to share that with you because I had to read it last night. So certain things I'm going to take you down with me. That's just how it's going to go. Oh, man. So, yeah, that's
so transphobia is solved then, right? I mean, it's solved.
What? Transphobia?
Yeah. Gay phobia.
Like who is afraid of nobody's afraid of gay people. We're just like, can you not shake your wang out in the street during a parade? Literally all we're asking.
But taking these signs down fixed it, whatever was wrong.
What did it fix?
I know. That's
the erection.
Oh, golly.
God.
It's Friday. Half of you are already like sitting either under your sprinkler in your backyard, poolside, or you're driving home from work. The rest of you are slogging through it. We're helping you. So just roll with it. I'm just
making sure it fixed it. Whatever it was.
If that's all it takes to fix things, like what other signs can I take down? Like if I were to take down gun-free zone signs.
Right.
As a suggest, like what does that fix?
Yeah.
What does that say? That solves something.
Yeah, sure does.
I'm told. If I paint rainbows, we should just go off and paint. We need a straight flag. Right. I just be curious of what that would look like. What colors are left? Everybody's been claiming them.
So they can take down our signs. We can't even drive on theirs that are on the street.
They can take down signs, but God help you. If the tires of your car touch one of the blessed rainbow murals that low has been painted upon the asphalt, if you do that, you'll die.
Is this what equality looks like? Is that what I'm supposed to
say? Yeah, it's equality. When some people are specialer than you, that's equality.
Oh.
Did you guys know that? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's equality.
Today,
shooting star, the more you know. Juan, I'm sure you can whip up something and post at it where it's like a stars. If I do that, it wipes stars and a rainbow across the screen, right? Just work your magic over there. Just grow another arm. It's all right. I am curious. I can't tell you how many people. There are a lot of people who listen to the program who identify as, you know, constitutionalists, and they are. They also identify of a same-sex nature in terms of attraction. And there are no funnier responses, I got to say, than the responses I get from those people. Because they're like, hang on, I have to pull this up. I don't want to say the guy. So the guy's name is Braden, and that's all I'll say. He's like, I have to tell you, I am so damn tired of seeing rainbow everywhere. Rainbow is tacky. It's tacky. It doesn't go with anything. I'm tired of seeing it all over everything. When does it stop? That's an actual email. And he identified as being a gay dude. So I'm just saying, you know, I feel like there's a loud group of, because it's such a small segment of the population. And I think then of that percentage, there's another percentage from that percentage that wants to paint all the things and take down all the signs. And they're the ones who are like, no, we know that everybody said in the 90s that they wanted to be equal. We don't want to be equal. We want to be specialer. So we want all of these like special accommodations. Well, that's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. I wanted to share with you this story, too. This is just crazy. The IDF, the hostage rescue, it all came out yesterday, the step-by-step detail. And they had literally a long face-to-face battle. One of their commanders was shot and killed. But they were there for several days surveilling where these hostages were kept and all of this. And I mean, it was pretty amazing to in reading all of this. At one point, they ended up getting into a gunfight. And what gets me, as they went into one of the houses where the other two hostages were, there were more terrorists there that they think had slipped in at some point before the sun came up. And they were there. They engaged in a gun battle. But when the other refugees outside started hearing the gunfire, this is like a, you know, Team America World Police kind of thing. People were literally like throwing off cloaks and pulling out RPGs and, you know, submachine guns and all this stuff, like out in the streets there in the refugee camp. All these people were coming out and just like shooting at the building. Like, oh, is there IDF in there? Pew, 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 pew. I read that. I had to read that several different times, like many different times. I stopped and I was like, wait, what? What? Because they said that dozens of terrorists emerged from the tunnels around the building. They just came up like rats from the tunnels. And then they said that people just in and around the area just started coming out with guns and literal RPGs. They blew up their extraction, their helicopter that came to get them. They blew it up. So then they had to go to plan B. Yeah. That's how crazy it got. That's how crazy this got. So I got questions about, you know, the camp and who's there and do they know who's all there and how many tunnels are there? There's a million questions because this is in Rafah, and those tunnels that we were talking about, those are the ones that we mentioned last week that ran from the camp all the way underground into Egypt, and they were smuggling all kinds of guns and munitions in. Unbelievable. And a new poll out shows that over 67% of Gazans still support the October 7th terror attack. It only fell by 4% since the same survey was taken in March. And they said that the majorities in the survey in the West Bank and Gaza want Hamas as their government. What'd I tell you? Very interesting indeed. We got a lot to get into still as we barrel towards. We got today's stupidity coming up. As we move our partners, you know what? Go ahead and get ready with ReadyWise because you're going to need to anyway at this point. I mean, we just talked with Carol, the petrodollar, everything else going to hell in a handbasket. How much more information do you need? People, get some food. Get your preparedness food. It's from an American company. It's American food. It's packed in an American plant, and it's sent out from their American plant to you. It is top quality food whenever you need it. And you can avoid the stress of crowded stores as something goes sideways, inflated prices, unreliable local services, supply chain disruptions. Get top quality food whenever you need it using promo code DANA20 for 20% off any regularly priced item. And you get, they have all kinds of deals going on right now. Their food, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life, high quality U.S. ingredients. And the thing is, you can even take it for hunting trips. Don't be like my grandpa, who only took my grandma's unsweetened iced tea and Spam. You know, maybe take some of this with you. You don't have to be like him. The time to prepare is now, though. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use code DANA20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com. Code DANA20.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
While they over there running their mouth, I'm over here paying them no mind. See, I'm so tired of hearing these idiots call my name as Fanny in a way to attempt to humiliate me. Because like silly schoolboys, the name reminds them of a woman's rear.
It's also literally an old-timey name. I mean, there are actual literary characters named Fanny. I mean, isn't Fanny Price one? Yeah, Fanny Price. That was from Mansfield Park. That's Jane Austen. I mean, you had Fanny, I mean, that's, you had all of these, throughout that period of literature, that name was actually, it came up quite a bit. And I've even heard it in names, like, it's more of like a Southern name, but I've heard of that name before. And when I first saw her name, I'm like, oh, it's Fanny with an I, like Tiffany with an I. Fawny? I feel like I'm trying to say wash without saying it, like I'm trying to say it wrong. Because, you know, the correct way to say warsh is warsh. That's the right way to say it. Milk?
I'm not so sure.
It's the Southern Missouri that comes out, and y'all are wrong with that. With them, you're wrong with those words. It's wrong. But she's mad because people say her name wrong. Chick, your name is like an old-timey name.
Right.
How are people supposed to know that it's not Fanny? And by the way, technically, when there's the presence of two vowels, the second vowel makes the first vowel a long. The first vowel makes a long song or long sound with the presence of the second vowel. So you got two vowels right there. The A is long. Fanny, right? It's Fanny. Wait, how? That's not all that is. Say it again for me. I can't say her name.
I say Fawny.
Fawny. Okay. Yeah, it's almost Fawny. Like an O, like a short vowel O. Fawny.
And then I think Steve calls her Fawny, like a fawn, like a baby deer. So
that just may be my parents' accent trickling down to me. I say a lot of weird words.
Wait, what accent do you have?
My parents have a Philly. My mom would say Fawny because she's from Pennsylvania, but yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do your parents say Yens?
No, that's Pittsburgh. Philly is Yous.
Different part of Pennsylvania.
Wait, Pittsburgh say Yens?
We've had this conversation, but yeah.
So, because in the Ozarks, like in Southern Missouri, Yens is a thing. Like Y-N-Y-I-N-S, like Yens going out to eat, Yens coming over. So did people from Pittsburgh go there? Like how did that happen? Second hour on the way. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
We know what the substance is because we have the transcript. And so there are legitimate investigative reasons why the Department of Justice would not want to turn over. And the Congress has to have a legitimate reason to request these materials. There is no legitimate reason that anyone has identified on the Republican side why they need the audio recording in addition to the transcript. And so, yes, congressional oversight is very important. And certainly Donald Trump did give the finger to Congress, and he said it explicitly when he said, "I will defy all congressional subpoenas." But that is not what this administration has done at all. This administration has actually gone over and above what is necessary in the usual accommodation.
This is Dan Goldman, and he's saying that, well, you know, this Merrick Garland has gone above and beyond, guys. He's been so cooperative with all of this. And he's talking about the subpoenas when they were asking Garland to please hand over. We need to be able to have the audio to Joe Biden's testimony, his closed door testimony. We need to be able to have the audio for that. And they won't give it up. And they want to make sure, they just simply want to make sure that the redactions and the transcript after the redactions is still representative of the audio. Because remember, they said they edited it, but the excuse that they gave as to what they took out, how they edited it, was so weird. They were saying, well, you know, we took out redundant, you know, conjunctions and prepositions and things like that. Okay, well, why did you do that? Why did you have to go through and edit it? Why'd you edit it? Why'd you have to do that? That's so dumb. Just give us the audio. But now remember, as I said yesterday, that the interview that he had, or the testimony that Biden gave after that, that's when they decided, oh my gosh, we're not going to prosecute the guy. So her's like, we're not going to prosecute this guy because he's old and feeble-minded. That's what they said. So he wasn't mentally competent enough to stay in trial, but he's mentally competent enough to run the United States, essentially. I think that alone makes it a necessity to see what was said in the interview. I do not trust these people to say, well, the transcript, even though it was edited and if it's edited out, it's been redacted. The edited transcript, yeah, trust us on this. These are the same people, again, who had 51 different members of the intelligence agency lie to your face and say that the laptop that was entered into evidence in Hunter Biden's trial in Delaware and that the FBI finally verified, they all lied to you and said that it was a Russian psyop. And it wasn't. It was real. And they all knew it was real. So this is we need to have the audio. And the more they fight, the worse it looks. The worse that it looks. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Loesch here with you. And we've been going over a number of different things. We've been talking about some of the G7 stuff as well. And touching on that Supreme Court ruling that came down this morning about the bump stocks. By the way, Lorraine Mines, Dan Goldman is a guy, he did help prep Michael Cohen for Trump's trial. I was like, wait, why does that name sound familiar? And I was thinking of that. And Lorraine, who has mind reading capabilities, was like, it's because he prepped Michael Cohen for trial. So welcome back to the program. Like I said, you can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the radio show as well. And a quick note. So on the bump stock ban, which came out and it was 6-3. I thought it should have been 9-0. It wasn't, because it wasn't about the Second Amendment. It was about the overreach of the administrative state, and it had nothing to do with the bump stock per se. It had nothing to really to even do with the Second Amendment per se. It's entirely different. This had to do with whether or not the government extended its authority through the ATF to regulate something that they really didn't have the authority to regulate. And that's exactly what this was all about. And I mean, this has been, I really think that this is also going to affect, because we saw this at the CDC with the rent moratorium, and I really do think that we'll see this, you know, the pistol brace stuff, but this gets into the Chevron doctrine, and you can't have an administrative agency essentially overextend its authority, and the idea that you have to refer to an administrative bureaucracy's interpretation of a law. I mean, it looks like they're really going to town on it. SCOTUS does, because you had the CDC, and then of course even some of the lower courts with the Ninth Circuit with the CDC. This isn't the first time that they've made this determination as it relates to the overextension of the administrative state. So no matter which way you look at it, it's a good ruling. It's good news. It's good for freedom. However, to make you understand how we got to that point, right after, and this was before the pandemic when all of this stuff went down, because you had Parkland, you had the Las Vegas shooting, and Republicans were under a lot of pressure to find one thing that they could compromise on. And they were being told by other Republicans, I'm not going to give you names, but I'm telling you the lay of the land at the time. They were being told by other Republicans, you're going to have to compromise on some of this stuff, whether it's red flag law, whether it's, you know, the universal background check, which was the creation of a gun registry, because we already had a background check system. All of this, they were being told that the ban or further restrictions on semi-automatic rifles. And a lot of Republicans were very, very nervous. They were very scared. The administration at the time, the Trump administration, didn't help when they had that huge meeting. Remember that round table, and they were Democrats and Republicans sitting there. And that's when the president made the comment about red flag in due process, that I hope that he is 180'd from that. But that just gives you some insight, though, into how much pressure was on Republicans to compromise on something. And there were all kinds of meetings on Capitol Hill, it was rough going. It was very rough going. So the idea was, well, we don't want Congress to do something about it, because if Congress does something about it, then it'll be a lot harder to reverse it, which I get it. And that is true. So the idea was, well, give it to the ATF, because if we just give it to the ATF, you know, what are Democrats going to say? Democrats love when the administrative state makes law. They love it. They're not going to complain about it. They think that it'll work and it'll be lasting. So let's roll with that as a form of protection for a little while. So the thought process was, let the ATF handle it, because it means a less confrontation for Republicans. And the ATF can come out with a rule and we can go, well, that's the ATF's rule. That's literally what the thought process was at the time. And I'm not saying it was right, because it wasn't. Republicans need to stop being afraid to fight toe-to-toe on stuff. But the fact that they were so afraid to do so, excuse me, my understanding is that they didn't think that they had the support to do it. Just because somebody has an R after their name doesn't mean they know gun law, doesn't mean they even know firearms. There are a lot of Republicans that don't even own firearms. I mean, I had Vivek Ramaswamy, who I don't dislike as a person at all. In fact, I think he needs to come down here and go shoot. But he had said to me that, you know, he didn't own a firearm. I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to change that. That has to be changed. Just because, and it doesn't mean that they support rights, firearm rights, any less, but I do think that when you are a gun owner and you do have that responsibility, I do think that it gives you a little bit deeper insight into the Second Amendment and its purpose. My point is that there were a lot of Republicans that were very, very nervous about it. They didn't think that they had support within their own party, and they thought that Democrats were going to outmaneuver them on this issue. And they were allowing Democrats to outmaneuver them on this issue. So it was a very challenging time. You cannot hide behind the administrative state when you're too cowardly to make a decision, and then turn around and point your finger at them when they overextend. Because Republicans hid behind the ATF for this rule. They did not want to fight on that. They didn't want to fight about it. They didn't want to fight about bump stocks, because they didn't even know enough about bump stocks to talk about them and to even explain how, no, they don't function how you think they function. No, and they also didn't want to say, well, you could tie a rubber band around it and you could use anything to turn it into a, oh my gosh, don't say that, because then they'll want to ban more. They didn't know how to message it, so they just didn't want to talk about it. So their response was, oh, well, the ATF made a rule. And the ATF, I have to say, they were too dumb to realize that they were kind of getting played on it. In some ways, it was brilliant, and in some ways, it was cowardly. Because it gets overturned in the courts, but until it gets overturned in the courts, you got to live under it. And it didn't even have to get overturned in the courts, if only lawmakers would do what they were supposed to do. But remember, lawmakers are only as empowered as you make them. If you send somebody weak to D.C., you're going to get weak leadership. If you send someone who's too afraid to make a decision on their own and they've got to focus group everything, that's the type of representation that you're going to get. It's not just that you send a Republican, it's the type of Republican that you send. Some of the other stuff hitting as well. Now, Biden has ruled out commuting Hunter Biden's sentence, which, you know, is totally a lie. You absolutely know this is totally not even true. He was asked yesterday during a presser if he thinks his son got a fair trial and whether or not the DOJ operated independent of politics. And he said, quote, I'm satisfied. I'm not going to do anything. I said I abide by the jury decision. I'll do that. I will not pardon him. And then he was asked about commutation, where apparently he shook his head. I don't believe it. I think he'll pardon him or he'll commute his sentence. Absolutely. Nobody believes that he's not going to do that. Come on. Nobody believes it. So the other thing here to get into, I'm going to pull this up. This was funny. So we discussed the elections, the EU elections. Remember how we've been complaining about how socialist France has been? And we talked about their high taxes and how Emmanuel Macron's a weenie. And we've wished that they were better. We wished that they were the kind of ally that the United States had back in the day when they were helping us fund our independence. So the Republicans got into a big old fight. So you have the party. There's a couple of different parties. You have two different conservative parties. One of them is Les Républicains. That's the party of Jacques Chirac and Nicolas Sarkozy. And they apparently, there was an announcement that they were going to, that Sarkozy and that party would ally with Marine Le Pen's party. And apparently they've started fighting over it. And one of the top officials started saying that, oh, this guy who's saying this is only speaking in his name only. So they literally got into a big old fight, and it included one of the French right running to, they locked themselves into the party headquarters, and he locked himself in after his colleagues turned against him. And then the general secretary of the party had the spare keys, and there's video of her going to the big blue door at their headquarters and going in. They're all fighting because Emmanuel Macron called for a snap election to deal with the prominence now of the National Rally Party. That's Marine Le Pen's party. And they took home over 31% of the vote. They're going to control the National Assembly in France. That's their legislature. They're going to control it. And so the right now is having a breakdown because now they're in power. Oh, my gosh. And typical French style, they decide to get petty and fight. It's funny. We're going to talk more about this. I love watching French politics because the French are very dramatic in the way that they do stuff like this. Like, we fight behind the scenes. They will literally lock each other out of their headquarters and make each other come and record themselves getting into it. It's hysterical. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at Black Rifle Coffee. It's the best coffee in America. If you haven't tried it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. It's a perfect time to do it. They are one of the most popular coffee companies in America, which makes all the Marxist coffee companies super angry because it's veteran-owned and veteran-run, and everything down from the roast to the bag art that they do, everything pays homage to American culture and military history. It's owned and run by veterans. They hire veterans in active duty. They support law enforcement. Every single bag that they make is roasted right here in the U.S. of A. They don't white label it like some of these other posers do. They actually roast the beans themselves. They have a variety of choices, too, for your consumption. Ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. You also can find the apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything. And join the coffee club because you get your favorite brew or brews. You can choose how often you want it delivered, and you get free shipping, and it shows up magically. The coffee fairy drops it off on your doorstep. It's awesome. Try it for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com and get 20% off with code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So they say stunning. It's a stunning Hampton speech, but I don't know how you can say that with what I'm about to tell you. So they say it's a stunning Hampton speech, and it's unfortunately ranked one of the worst in the nation for fecal matter. It's the Mecox Bay, of course it is, in Southampton, and it landed in top 10 of beaches that tested positive for the dangerous levels of Enterococcus. That's an intestinal pathogen.
So people poop?
Yeah. It's. I am made of jokes right now, though, that I can't even get through this unless I put the... I reminded myself of something. I put it in Slack. They said it's an intestinal pathogen commonly used. That's literally how it's spelled. I'm not even joking. It's at the amount... It exceeded the amount considered safe by New York State standards. Well, what is their safe standards? What are those? So they said that why is it so bad? I don't understand that. What are people taking water deuces? Is that what it is? I don't know how else to explain that. Is there like a sewer plate that's pumping stuff into the water? Ugh. So a bunch of Massachusetts residents saved a Lowell man after a fire on a moped crash. No one ran away, they said. That's they helped him. Good Samaritans. It was a crash. Send a man apparently running naked into a smoothie shop. Oh. He's on fire. And they said people were taking off their clothes to give to the guys. Some were grabbing fire extinguishers. They were trying to put out flames on the moped. Other people were taking the debris out on the road. Everybody just like jumped into action. And it's nice to see that because normally people just stand around and take video. So, you know, thankfully. Red wine and chocolate could fuel a healthy space flight, say scientists. Okay, that sounds like a great time. Yeah, they said astronauts could drink red wine and eat chocolates, says one study. A very good study. Very, very good study. Carol Roth next. This is a great time to make sure that you go get some. Just told you how it's going to get worse economically. And, well, the petrodollar, that's just one reason. The bad financial policies coming out of this administration, that's another reason. You need to protect yourself, and the way that you can do that is with GoldCo. They want to make sure that you understand everything there is about the economy of how gold IRAs work. They have thousands of five-star reviews, a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau, and they want to make it easy for you to understand all this. They have a free 2024 wealth protection guide that gives you every bit of fact and information about how precious metals help you in the face of inflation and exploding national debt. And you could possibly be eligible for an up to 10% instant match in bonus silver while supplies last. So don't sleep on it. So visit DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from GoldCo and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I don't think anyone knows, has a definitive answer why people are not as happy at about the economy as they might be. And we don't tell people how they should think or feel about the economy. That's not our job. People experience what they experience. All I can tell you is what the data show, which is we've got an economy that's growing at a solid pace.
Is he high? Like, I'm just wondering, like, you know, is Hunter Biden into, like, selling his booger sugar out the back door of the White House? Or is this, you know, is it for everybody? Just for Hunter? Just for, like, topping Joe off? Is Jerome Powell hitting it, too? I hear these people, and I got to say, it just pisses me off whenever I hear them talk. Because this is not our shared reality, y'all. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. It's Friday. We don't care. She actually should get an award for hair. She has, in fact, we're going to come up with an award and give Carol Roth, who describes herself. She's like one of the smartest people in economics, and she's a She's a recovering investment banker and entrepreneur. She's a New York Times bestselling author of a book that'll scare the hell out of you. You will owe nothing. And she's an activist on behalf of economic illiteracy and the best hair out there. Carol Roth joins us now. Carol, always so good to have you, my sister in the fight. I'm going to get to Jerome Powell because first, and then we got to talk about the petrodollar because I've not heard anybody talk about this. And my first thought was, we got to get Carol. Where are they? They're not looking at what we're living, clearly.
No, they're living in an alternate reality, and they have been for quite some time. And, you know, if you are part of the wealthy and well-connected and the elite, you're probably doing quite well because not only is the cost of living been inflated, but also assets have been inflated. So all the people who Jay Powell, as I have decided to call him, is hanging around with, they're probably sitting around being like, well, my life's okay. I don't know why everybody's so angry. Meanwhile, the data shows since Joe Biden took office, more than 20% cumulative inflation. And we know that that's underreported by probably a factor of at least two. But, you know, you listen to the things they say. First of all, we're going to, you know, listen to the data. Well, the Fed, if they're going to be data dependent, how are they doing that? Because we know the data isn't dependable. It continues to get revised. It continues to go through different adjustments. We know fewer people are responding to surveys. So I'm not sure. Maybe it's a different set of data that they're getting than we're getting, but certainly anything that we see isn't dependable and isn't telling the same story. And just the epic amount of gaslighting that's been going on, you know, these are the same people, Jerome Powell, Janet Yellen, Janet Yellen's final press conference under Trump, she said the biggest issue was that inflation was too low. She had the nerve to say that back then. Then in May of 21 under Biden, she said she didn't see inflation, you know, going to be a problem. Then inflation started to get stoked. Then it was transitory. You know, we hear the same thing out of the Fed. So when they've been wrong about just about everything, why is it that we're hanging on their every word? Why do they even have this mandate that they supposedly have from Congress? Because obviously they're not doing a real great job of it.
That's a great point as well. I remember her saying that, and I've never heard anyone say that inflation was too low. Like, is that a problem? Like, I don't think that's even an issue. Talking with our good friend Carol Roth, and you can get her newsletter too, by the way, at carolroth.com/news, that she sends out all kinds of good stuff on. I want to come back to this because I think that all of this is affected by what we're about to talk about now. This, the news came out that the Saudis are no longer going to be requiring sales of crude in U.S. currency. So nobody's going to have this reserve currency of our American dollars, you know, and using that as like the standard for energy, for oil purchasing from the Saudis. They're also going to be dealing in all these other currencies as well.
Yeah.
I've not heard a single thing, Carol, from the administration on this. No one has spoken about it. Janet Yellen hasn't said anything about it. Poot Booty Juice, Department of Transportation, Jen Granholm over at Energy, not a single person said anything about this. And Biden's now got his whole fam damily over in Italy, the great, you know, National Lampoon's Puglia vacation over there. In the meantime, we're watching the petrodollar die and our economic dominance wither. This is disastrous.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't even know that there was an expiration date on that agreement. I thought it was an ongoing thing. And then all of a sudden, just quietly, oh, this went away. This is something that if you want to get into the weeds on, I actually have a whole chapter where we talk about this and You Will Own Nothing, which you were so kind to endorse. And you can really kind of understand what happened. But basically, when we went off the gold standard, there was this quiet delegation that went over to the Saudis and made this deal. And they basically said, okay, you agree that dollars is what we're going to price oil in throughout the world. And not only that, so that's sort of the trading part of it, but that you are going to take the excess dollars that you have and you are going to plow them back in and buy treasuries with them. And that was in exchange for us supporting Saudi Arabia from a military standpoint. That was basically the deal that was cut. And this was so secretive that for a very long time, I think until Bloomberg uncovered it, that they didn't break out treasury purchases from Saudi Arabia. They just sort of lumped them in regionally because they didn't want anyone to know that this was an actual deal that had happened. So the big shift that is happening now, and we've seen this throughout the BRICS, and by the way, the shift that is happening is not like an outside move, power move. This is all internal. This, going back to the Fed, as we're talking about, the Fed has not kept the dollar stable on an international front or internally, not domestically either. And so when you have commodities, whether it is oil or whether it is food, things that people need to live for their economy that are priced in dollars, and that dollar is not stable, and all of a sudden it's costing more and more dollars for them that they don't have, and they have to go into their reserves and exchange, and it becomes more expensive for them, that becomes a national security issue for these countries. That becomes, you know, an issue of being able to feed and you know, have electricity in their country. So of course, over time, if we don't manage the dollar appropriately, that's going to be an issue. And President Biden and his administration without Congress weaponized the dollar even further this year when they decided to seize Russia's assets. So who wants to have their reserves in dollar-based assets if the U.S. at any point in time can come in and say, just kidding, we're taking them and trying now to find a way to give those over to Ukraine. So this is our fault. And what is going to shift and change is we are going to have fewer central banks buying dollars, which, by the way, they've been on to this since the Great Recession financial crisis. The last 10 years, central banks around the world have actually been net sellers by about, I think, the last I saw was about $100 billion, maybe even more at this point, of our treasuries. So they haven't been the ones buying them on net. That is going to accelerate. They're going to put more treasuries in the market, which means more supply, which is going to impact interest rates. So that means the U.S. government will not be able to borrow cheaply and continue to finance their deficits on the cheap, and it is going to raise the cost of living. And that's the reserve part. Then there's the trade part. It's going to lessen the amount of trade that is being done in dollars as well. This all threatens our status, you know, as the world's reserve currency. And given the fact that we have 120% debt to GDP, and that's projected to grow, that then creates more of a chance for us to have a sovereign debt crisis. The only reason we have not seen everything blow up at this point in time is because we are the world reserve currency. And so this shift is a huge threat to that. And not enough people are paying attention. They're just kind of going, yeah, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I'm sure it's okay. None of this is okay and is going to have grave consequences 100% because of what the U.S. has done, their shoddy management of the country's financials, this crazy amount of debt we have, this insane central bank that has been derelict in its duties, and none of the people involved, Dana, are going to be held accountable.
That's, I mean, it's criminal. It's criminal. We're talking with Carol Roth, who just expertly explained how this is going to all distill down, how it's going to affect everyone. Because you made a great point. The reason that we haven't blown up from a lot of our bad decisions is because we were the world's currency, or the reserve currency, and now we're not anymore. How quickly does that impact come?
So we still are. I would say that we still have the, you know, the stronghold. And it's interesting because what we're seeing is that when these currencies are being replaced, these central banks, they're not plowing them into other currencies. So it's not like we're losing and you're seeing a big jump in yuan. What are you seeing a jump in? Gold.
Yes.
That is becoming the de facto. So I would keep an eye on that. And it's one of those things, it's kind of like the Hemingway attributed phrase, you know, how did you go bankrupt very slowly and then all at once? You know, we don't know when that's specific point in time is going to be. I think this is going to be more like death by a thousand cuts than like one big crisis. It's just we're going to see this slow slide, and all of a sudden you're going to wake up one day and be like, things are just much worse, and they're going to blame it on anything and everything else. Mm. Usually a Republican or somebody who's MAGA or, you know, whatever it is, but that's going to be just all of these small issues that like snowball into a really big issue.
And that gets in, because one of the pieces that I read to tie all these two issues together, it was USA Today, was USA Today or Forbes. Anyway, they were examining the Trump campaign, the Biden campaign, talking about tax cuts. And I love their perspective was how to pay for them, because Biden obviously wants to increase taxes. On top of all of this, refusal to cut government spending, increase taxes, furthering drive inflation. That's just going to expedite all of this so much.
Yeah. So I don't like the phrase, who is going to pay for tax cuts?
Oh, I hate it.
Because tax cuts is letting you keep your own money. There is no paying for that. What it is that if you are changing the tax system, then you have to right size spending. And oh, by the way, there isn't a direct correlation. We saw after the Trump tax cuts that the revenue to the government continued to increase. That is why Joe Biden never overturned that during his tenure, because he has taken in more and more revenue. Because when you put money in productive hands, it creates growth and opportunity versus when you put it in government hands.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the idea that all of a sudden you're going to raise taxes and that's not going to slow down the economy is farcical. And it totally does get away from the issue of changing and addressing government spending. And unfortunately, we don't have the political will on those, well, either of those fronts to do much. So I think then you end up with door number three, which in like, let's make a deal is often the zonk. And that becomes, how do you take care of these huge deficits? And ultimately, as that goes into the debt, well, you end up monetizing it. And then that causes longer term inflation. And I think the trajectory that we're on is just basically telling us that inflation is going to continue to be with us. They're going to continue to normalize it. Their quote unquote 2% target, which is a joke because, you know, Janet thought that inflation was too low. We had to have it at least 2%. Target's going to creep up and is now going to become 3% or whatever it is. And you're going to have the middle and working class having a harder and harder time of attaining the American dream, while the wealthy and well-connected continue to do better. And you're just going to see that gap widen, and on a non-merit-based basis.
Oh,
listen,
gosh.
If some, somebody creates something and has lots of productivity and they gain something from it, that's great. I have no problem with the inequality. But when it is done on a non-merit-based basis by government and monetary policy, that is just stealing the American dream from middle America.
Yeah. One last quick question for you. Talking with our friend Carol Roth, the author of the bestseller You Will Own Nothing, Your War with a New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. And of course, make sure you get our newsletter at carolroth.com/news, because you just were touching on it. Inflation. We keep hearing that, oh, no, it's cooling. It's fine. It's going away. The Feds didn't cut the interest rates, though. So I need a little bit more than that. Because they keep telling us it's OK. Well, we're not seeing it in how the Fed acts or in anything else. CPI data, none of it.
Yeah, I mean, my best analogy is weight. So, you know, you go on a binge 1 year, you gain 10 pounds. It happens to all of us. You go to the doctor. They say, you got to do something about this. You say, OK, I'm going to try. The next year you come back and you've gained 4 pounds. What does the doctor say? Is to say, wow, you've really controlled your weight gain. Yeah. Good job. You only gained 4 pounds this year versus 10. No, he goes, you're up 14 pounds. You're fat. You don't fit into your jeans anymore. You got to do something. And that's the discussion we have, that all of a sudden we're up, you know, the equivalent of the 20 pounds, which is really 40 if they were being honest about it. And they're going, you look great. You look fantastic. It's okay that you're wearing elastic waist pants. Don't worry about it.
Just stay in those pants. It's great. They look great anyway. It's
Thanksgiving
the style.
Pants.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Our friend Carol Roth, you can find her at Carol J.S. Roth. Find her on X. I keep up wanting to say Twitter. Make sure to find her at carolroth.com/news. Get that newsletter. Get her book. It's like a terrifying book. It's going to, you know what, make it into a horror film. It'll be like an economic horror film. Carol, always good to see you. Have a
you
great
too,
weekend,
my
friend. Thank you.
You too. Take care.
We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour. We got Florida Man on the way. Florida Man is going to make everything seem saner. Can't even believe I just said that. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man was accused of reporting a fake bomb in a Publix bathroom during a meat heist. There's so many things wrong with this headline. I mean, the bomb in the bathroom, meat, it's all bad. The guy, he's from a Cocoa Man, has found himself behind bars after he allegedly reported a fake bomb in a Publix bathroom in an apparent ruse to distract deputies because he wanted to steal a shopping cart full of meat. Dallas Britt, 46 years old, was arrested and charged with following the incident that unfolded. Brevard County Sheriff, he got charged with a false bomb report, misuse of 911, petty theft, and use of a two-way communication device to facilitate a felony. Right. Couldn't that have just been like a phone? Can you get that charge? Interesting. He said, quote, somebody put a bomb in the bathroom, like the garbage can. It's ticking. So they went, and he got in a lot of trouble. So you can't be doing stuff like that. Why would you do that? To steal a shopping cart full of meat? But okay, this Florida man did. I don't want to do this one. This Florida man stripped naked and lit a dog on fire outside of a Daytona Beach hotel. I kind of want to light him on fire now. Please tell me that 65-year-old Michael Zellers, he got charged for felony animal cruelty, obstructing an officer, indecent exposure, possession of controlled substance, disorderly conduct, violation, probation. And he literally burned his dog with his lighter on the neck, ears, neck, and paw. The animal suffered superficial injuries. He got medical care. I hope someone nice takes him. In the meantime, kind of want to set this guy's feet on fire. Like, literally. I'm just saying, kind of. I didn't say I'd do it. Don't get me. But, you know, kind of. See, we just need one day where it's like a purge. Just let me loose, right? Just let me loose. Third hour on the way. Stick with us. Kel-Tec, great American company. George Kellgren immigrated from Sweden, went to Cocoa Beach, Florida, created an awesome firearms company. They make boomsticks. Founded in 1991, an innovative Florida-based creator of pistol, rifle, shotguns, accessories, and gear, and they continue their mission of game-changing innovation and performance today. One of their latest is the Gen 3 version of their Sub-2K, an awesome 9mm carbine, light, foldable, and effective. You don't have to detach your favorite optics to fold it straight up in half. It folds in half super easy and just as easily and quickly deploys as well. And they've changed a few things on it. They have upgraded action. Gen 3 features a redesigned operating handle. You got added comfort. You got lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open. You also have a lightened 5-pound trigger pull, all providing comfortable improved manipulation. I have the Gen 2 version. Now I want the Gen 3. My version, I have to take the optics off, but I love this. I love this this carbine. It's awesome. And they're all quality made right here in the U.S. of A. by American-owned, American-based, family-owned, family values company. And you can see everything that they have to offer, like the KSG. They have all kinds of stuff over at KeltecWeapons.com. See everything at KeltecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media and tell them Dana sent you.
Let me ask you another question. There'll be the awkward elephant in the room, and that is about the Sun-Times story last week about your spending of $30,000 from your campaign fund for hair and makeup. Can you respond to that and explain why you think that's an appropriate use of the campaign dollars to many people seems like a lot of money?
I think it's always appropriate to make sure that we're investing in small businesses, especially minority-owned, black-owned, women-owned businesses. Our campaign spends money on food. We support black and brown-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, printing. There are a number of things that my campaign spends dollars on. And I'm so committed to supporting small businesses that even as mayor, just made another announcement of another $34, $35 million available for small businesses.
I need so Juan was playing. He's got the, you keep him up there for a minute. And you can put me side by side with him if you want to. First off, welcome back. Top of the third hour, Dana Lash with you. Sign up for the newsletter, Substack, Chapter and Verse. Got all kinds of good stuff up there. Find us. We got the chat on Rumble, streaming on X, Channel 347 DirecTV. The reason I want him to stay up, wait, this way. The reason I want him to stay up there is because does he look like a dude who, first off, he's a dude who spends $30,000 a year on his hair and makeup. On what? Dudes, you tell me what you see on this man, his hair. I can't even comment on his makeup. What is his hair? His hair has to be some of that. What is he spending $30,000 on? Anybody? Nothing? What's the most expensive? Gentlemen, what is the most expensive haircut you all have ever gotten? I don't know, because all the men in my family go to a barber. They don't go to salons.
Right. Back in the day, it was like $7-$8. I think I've paid up to like $35-$40 for one.
Yeah.
So
do you go, but you go to like a barber,
right?
Steve, do you go to a barber?
I do go to a barber, but I, you know, the most expensive barber I've been to is like $50 for just a cut.
And Juan, you don't go to a salon, do you? Oh no. Juan's like, no, I go to a barber. Yeah. Everybody I know goes to a barber. I don't know anybody.
He gets once a week haircut, right? That's a fair amount, right? So 52 haircuts a year.
He would get a once-a-week haircut for what?
I mean, that's fair.
No, it's not.
Sure.
It should only, if you're, he don't have much hair to cut. If he's getting a haircut every week, Kane,
yeah.
What? It's just they're like buzzing the sides and he gets it cropped on the top. That's it. Doesn't take no time at all.
Well, yeah, I know. I think you're equating it to how much time based on how much he pays to get it.
I love the excuse that he gives. Oh, well, it's okay because it was black-owned businesses.
Right.
I mean, it was his campaign funds, by the way. You get trouble for that stuff. You can't be using campaign funds for things like that. He's like, oh, no, it was black-owned businesses because he hired a black makeup artist or something. And a lot of his campaign expenditures were just very vague. Like, oh, hair and makeup for event or hair and makeup for TV or hair and makeup for debate or something to that effect. But still, How is it $30,000? I say this as somebody who works in TV, and I've worked, I do my own hair and makeup for when we're together every day. And I don't like, I actually, there's only very few makeup artists that I like, because I feel like the makeup is so thick and I don't like wearing a lot of makeup because it just, I can't breathe and I feel sticky. I can't handle it. And I have very sensitive skin. And so I'll come in fully done to, and force them only to do touch-ups. It infuriates everybody, but it's high roll. But even then, when you hire or you have a makeup artist, like when I did my book covers, we had a makeup artist, and they would do you for editorial, which is different, totally different for television. Television, everything, you can't be shiny. It has to be matte. You have to, like, all out in the street, it looks like drag queen old lady makeup. But when you're doing print, it has to be lighter and it has to be shinier. It's very different. And so in some of those respects, you have to bring someone on. Even then, it's not thousands of dollars. Even then, it's not thousands of dollars. I have done shoots and events in DC and in New York and in Florida and in LA and everywhere. And because I will ask people, like, how do you do financial? How do you do with, and they'll tell you, like, some of their stuff, they get paid several $100, or they'll, maybe if it's like an all day thing, they might get a couple of thousand, depending on how many people they're doing and what all they have to bring. If this is just for him. I'm putting all this in context. This just for him. So I don't think it was all going for that. What was it all going for? Because you cannot tell me, even if you're being super bougie and you're hiring this lady to come out and do your hair and makeup everywhere you go, for every time you go into public. I mean, hell, I think he's saying he spent more than Lori Lightfoot. And she's a woman, although they have the same hair. I don't know. It's very confusing, but I love the whole, it was all black owned businesses, so it's okay somehow. You can't criticize it. What? Yes, you can. You absolutely can. Just wild. They think that they are above the law with everything, always above the law. So some of the stuff that we've been following, we were getting into, we talked to our friend Carol Roth about some of the economic stuff, and they've been having this discussion with G7 about, the economic security in the Indo-Pacific region, with energy, with all of this other stuff. She had said something that was very interesting. The money that some of the money that's being used for Ukraine is stuff that's been seized in those from Russia. We're talking about like some of the reserve. U.S. dollars. She made a good point that people aren't going to want to do that if the U.S., inspire confidence or help cement support for your currency if you're just going in and seizing that, which it's Russia still. But the point is, it does cause other countries to kind of question, wait a minute, maybe we should just, engage in, maybe we should just do crude with other currency. Maybe we should have a different reserve. Maybe we should. But they were signing that at G7. It's very, which Biden has been looking, I saw more video from last night where he was at an event and as he walked in, I guess it was a dinner he was going to with the other leaders. And again, it was one of those things where he had no idea where he was. I have a post up at Substack that you got yesterday if you sign up to the newsletter, where I got in a little bit to the, I got into the question that I've heard a lot of you ask about, why are the other leaders not doing anything? And I heard that a lot from people yesterday. And a lot of them particularly were talking about the video where he was kind of like wandering away when they were watching the parachuters come in. I don't know if because that guy came in with the G7 Italia, because they were the host country. And I included some video, a bunch of different videos of how when they first got their photo op upon arrival and he walked down, there were like four or five short steps into this courtyard. And he was in front of Fumio Kishida, who is the Japanese prime minister. And as he was walking down, he stumbled on those stairs, and Kishida like rushed over to the stairs and then realized, I'm on camera, and then tried to be very, And you know, kind of helped Biden a little bit. And then after their photos, they were walking along this, they took their photos and then they were walking along this breezeway. And there were another set of like two or three stairs. And it was interesting because Sheeta immediately sidestepped, got around and like made sure that Biden was okay going down the steps. And I noticed, I also included video in there when he was speaking at Normandy. And after he tried to, he misjudged how far the chair was away from him because it was far back. I mean, they had to step back several steps to get to the chairs because they were all stepping up near where the flags and all that were. And after that, it was like maybe minutes after that, Jill got him out of there. And there's video of Macron, the French president, looking very like, oh, this is weird. You could tell he was very confused because those were American veterans that they were greeting. And Macron was turning around and he stayed and was greeting the veterans. There were American veterans there and also some French, etc. But and the question that a lot of you ask, well, why are these other leaders not saying anything? And I think that's a fair question to ask. But what are they supposed to do? Now, keep in mind, Biden being there is the choice of the voters and the Democrat Party. They cannot risk, these leaders cannot risk alienating an allies governing party, either now or in November, should Biden win. So they kind of got to roll with it, right? And also at the same time, their geopolitical foes are pretty much our geopolitical foes, and they're all watching everything. And I think that they don't want any weakness by association. Considering that the United States is still the superpower there, they don't want any weakness by association. And I'm not pointing out Biden's behavior, like his, you know, all of that to mock him. I think it's cruel that he's there at this point, regardless if he's been a horrible president, because his party is so obsessed with power that their refusal to acknowledge his clearly obvious difficulties, it's making us look weak. But I'm saying this about all of them, even the ones that I don't like, which is Emmanuel Macron, because I don't think Meloni likes him either. There's video of her shaking his hand and she's making a face that she cannot hide. But I will say it was incredibly telling when after they had their first photos taken. And then when they were there, I think that some of these leaders, I think they were briefed about his cognitive difficulties. I don't think Ursula von der Leyen really was as much. And she's the commissioner of the EU. And Juan's been showing that simulcast, but there was at one point Meloni, who was the host. I think she was, I watched her, and now it's like six or seven different videos shepherd him. Now that all the other leaders know where they're going, and Juan is showing some of the on the simulcast. Ursula von der Leyen is the commissioner of the EU. She's got the short blonde hair and the peplum jacket, and Meloni's in the cream colored suit. She sees Biden going away. Macron sees him going away, and he steps over. Meloni is trying to very surreptitiously, as much as she can, bring Biden back. Some were saying, oh, he was watching the other paratroopers. No, that's not, everything was happening in front of him. Then you have Kishida, who comes up. You have Sunak, who is the British prime minister. But they all filled in around him and behind him, almost like they were going to keep him from wandering off again. Like they all knew, and they were just filling in the gaps. They were just kind of immediately moving to fill in the gaps. But it was like Macron knew immediately, and he saw, it's like him and Meloni were kind of looking at each other like, who's going to get him? Who's going to get him? Am I reading too much into this? You know how I love body language. One of my favorite YouTube channels is the body language guy. I watch him all the time.
And you don't even have to know a lot about body language to understand that's what was going on.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm never going to say this about world leaders that I don't like. And I'm talking about Macron. It felt like he was acting to kind of minimize some of it. I will say, I don't want, and as much as I dislike Biden, I do not want our leader to look weak on the world stage because he's representative of our country. I don't want our geopolitical enemies going, what in the hell is wrong with the Americans? Why did they send this guy? Why'd they pick this guy? I don't want them thinking that. I want our enemies going, what in the hell is wrong with these Americans? This guy's going to kill us. That's what I want them to think. I want our geopolitical foes to be terrified of who we put up there. I don't want them looking at him like, oh, are they, why did they pick this weakling? I don't want them to have that thought in their head. But I thought it was very interesting that it was particularly Macron and Maloney that were doing as much as they could, I think, to kind of rein him in. And Kishida, Fumio Kishida, he immediately ran over to him and was, you know, helping him down the stairs and all of that. But he was also trying to make it not look super obvious. They were all very aware that they were being recorded. It was fascinating to watch. I can't tell you how many of these videos I watched last night when I was getting ready for the show today. I know we got to get moving because we got headlines coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is crazy. So in Poughkeepsie, in New York, a woman was killed after she was attacked by a mad cow. This was at her northern New York farm, according to St. Lawrence County Sheriff's Office. Flor Lopez was 28 years old, was tending to a newborn calf when a nearby cow charged at her, struck her several times. She was taken to the hospital. She did not recover from her injuries. So that's wild. I mean, you do have to be careful with around the heifers, for sure. But, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody being actually, like, in recent time being killed by a cow like that. That's wild. Portland, of course they were. They were hosting a World Naked Bike Ride. It was canceled. The 2024 one was. I can't even imagine. The 25 one, they said they're looking for volunteers. Please, no one volunteer. That's disgusting. That's, no one sees that. No one needs to see that. Let's see here. Omaha police, a motel once accepted ground beef as payment. I mean, I can't say. What kind of ground beef was it, though? I mean, and it was in Omaha. Omaha Steaks? I'm just saying. You can take that. Omaha police said that it was a Motel 6. A Motel 6 near 84th and Grover Streets. They said that apparently they were becoming concerned, neighbors were, because of crime and safety issues, and they were law enforcement trying to put some pressure on the motel, and apparently they discovered they were literally accepting ground beef as payment. Like, how much, like, if you got a room for a weekend, how much beef is that? I mean, how many pounds? Yeah, stick with us. We got more in store.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This election is most certainly not about age. Joe and that other guy are essentially the same age. Let's not be fooled. Joe isn't one of the most effective presidents of our lives, in spite of his age. But because of it.
You know, she's right. Jill's right. It's not about age. It shouldn't be about his age at all. She's absolutely right. It is about cognitive decline. Sure.
By age.
Well, it's more than that, because I know 80-year-olds that are, let me tell, first off, welcome back to the program. Let me tell you a story about Chris's grandma, the original Grandma Lash. All right. She was a very, very sprightly little old lady, right? She had a flapper style. She always wore short curly hair. She started getting dementia in her later years. But up until then, she could, like, move. She could, you know, they took all her tools out of her house because she wouldn't stop fixing up stuff around her house after her husband passed away. She was a handy woman. She wouldn't stop doing stuff. She was trimming trees, and they're like, oh, my gosh, you cannot be out there. Now, we were talking on break about the average height of women. She's probably one of them 4'11" women, Kane. She was diminutive. Right. They're like, you cannot go out there with a chainsaw. They took her chainsaw away. So she got a handsaw. Oh, my gosh, you can't. They took that away from her. Well, then one day, one of the neighbors in their small town was driving past her house, and they saw her hanging upside down in a tree, her ankle caught in the branches. She had climbed up in that tree with a damn butter knife, trying to trim this lone branch off. She was very, very, like, with it, active, spry. You know, they had to really be creative as her dementia set in. And my grandfather, he was super with it, super smart, up until the day he passed, was able to get around, had no issues at all whatsoever. His body just eventually failed him. But he had he was a rancher. He had no problem moving around. He was out there in the fields all day long. I've been around the family members that have aged and have just been super active, and super sharp, even up to the moment that they passed. And I've had family members that have had strokes and family members that didn't recover from them as well as others did. And that's why it looks so familiar, what you see him going through, because every single one of us has somebody in our family that has gone through something similar to some degree of severity. And it's not an issue of age. It's an issue of his cognitive abilities that have clearly been compromised due to health issues that they don't want to be transparent about. And you don't have the right to be opaque when you're in this office. Your life is not your own at that point because you are representing all of the United States of America. And your decisions can literally affect our livelihoods and lives. So you don't get to be opaque about this stuff. You don't get to keep secrets like this. We all can see it. The people who sit here and go, there's nothing wrong with him, you sound so stupid. Just stop. This is not an issue of us trying to get a win over you or anything. I don't like the man. I'm not going to lie. I don't like him. I think he's a horrible person. And I think he's just a hideous father. That aside, he is an old man who's not even being allowed to enjoy his sunset years. He's not allowed to kick back and just hang out with his great grandkids and his grandkids. He's not allowed to rest. They have him doing this because they need a vessel in which to enact their agenda. There was nobody else that they could get that was going to be competitive. Cuomo took himself out with COVID, and he wasn't ready by 2020 anyway. Newsom is just unlikable. Kamala, they don't want her. That tells you how bad they don't like Kamala. They do not like her. I think Kamala was a condition of support from the Obamas because the Obamas liked her. She was part of their crew. She was, when she was AG of California, she was groomed and went up senator and then into the vice presidency. But this is, if this is, you know, if it's this bad in public, what is it like when he's not in front of cameras? Have you thought about that? This is just what we're seeing publicly. What is it like when it's not, when it's private? I had a story, let me pull this up, where there were some aides that had said, yeah, it's actually privately, it's, yeah. And I have this story somewhere, but that's something that they had said. And I can only imagine. Here it is. The Sun has the story. They said the 81-year-old has been losing focus during the gathering of world leaders for G7 in Puglia, Italy, according to these diplomatic sources. One told the Sun it's the worst he's ever seen. Another diplomatic insider added that while the president had shown moments of sharpness and clarity during meetings, at other times he appeared to lose focus and concentration. Other attendees from multiple delegations have said that Biden's performance, his incidents have been embarrassing. So the G7 diplomats are all whispering. And it doesn't look well. So my point is that it's cruel. It is cruel. You know why they don't get that soundbite ready for me? Because that's a prime example, Kane, of why they don't want her. Again, that was a condition of Obama's support. And this, they do not, nobody else wants her to be in that. They do not want her to be behind the Resolute desk. They'll do whatever is possible. I don't think we do either. Because she would, I think, be more difficult to control for them. Listen to this. This is one of the reasons, example, exhibit A, as to why, no, you cannot have her behind the Resolute desk. I don't know who's worse. Listen.
So the importance of community banks is they are, as they are called, they're in the community, led by members of the community. They are people who understand the capacity of the community, the needs of the community, the culture of the community.
So, oh my gosh.
So community banks are called community banks because why?
Because they're in the community.
Oh, Well, thank you, Vice President.
Is that the only thing that she has to offer for that? I mean... So they don't have as many assets as bigger. Do we need to actually do an explainer on what they are?
Oh, Lord.
Y'all know, right? Do y'all not know? No, y'all know. I don't believe that. I don't believe
in the name.
Their loans are, look at this. Their financial activities, including their loans, are kind of directed through to where their depositors live. And they're smaller. It's a little bit more than they're just in the community, Kane.
But my vice president said that's why they're called that.
Oh my gosh, I can't even deal. I can't.
You must have and know that you are applauded for having the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
That's brand new. That just happened.
5 minutes ago.
She don't have anything else?
I think we know why they're keeping Biden in there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, do you guys see it now? That's why. That's why he's staying in there. So, yeah. I don't know, but you know, it's still Democrats know it's an issue. They know that's an issue. You know, the Washington Post, there was a column where they were talking about why not place Kamala with Hillary Clinton? I'm going to hiss at it. Can you imagine?
No, I don't
want to. Jeez. She would. If I were Secret Service, I would not want her to be anywhere near that. You know? I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. That woman is evil. I try not to let politics get super personal, but there are some of these cats in this business, in the business of politics, and y'all know it. You look at them and you're like, nah, you're evil. Like, you're a demon from hell. You're evil. Like, you know it, right? You just, they're not like regular people. It's weird. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, CNN had a story out today. Joe Biden's been, like, really working hard to try to dispel the criticisms of Biden's cognitive issue. They keep saying that it is an age issue, and it's not. It is an issue of cognitive decline. And that's the big thing. It's an issue of cognitive decline. Has nothing to do with age. Has nothing to do with age at all. So a couple of other things I want to make sure that we're touching. Oh, everybody's been talking about the Joe Biden dog bite story. Do you feel bad for the dog? I feel bad for the dog. What more proof do we need? The Bidens cannot raise a damn thing. They can't parent. They can't. You knew that they would be bad dog owners. All their kids are on drugs. I wouldn't be surprised if Commander, the dog, is on drugs. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a little puppy pack of cocaine in the back. Calling little puppy escorts.
Puppy powder.
Yeah, gets that puppy powder. What? Roof. Ka-chow. You know it. Is it? I mean, look at all their kids. All their kids are hot messes. I think it was a matter of time for Bo. All their kids were hot messes. It's not shocking that their dogs are too. That their dogs have not been trained right and their dogs are too. It's not a surprise. So just saying that I feel bad for the dog because he was biting Secret Service members. Now, Chris and I were talking about this. My husband and I were talking about this last night. Is it because the dog doesn't like Democrats or is the dog a Democrat? Because he's biting Secret Service, so I was like,
classic Democrat.
Huh?
Like a classic Democrat?
No, like a new one. They don't exist no more.
So is the dog violent because he likes Democrats, or the?
Yeah, maybe, or because he is one. I don't know.
Wow,
I don't know
about that.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out. Yeah, apparently Biden watched him bite all these people. He just watched him.
It's just sanity versus insanity.
They took the Secret Service detail, took to wishing each other, have a safe shift. Don't get eaten.
I'm sorry, but I trust dogs too much to think that this dog didn't know what he
for
was
real.
Doing. You know what I mean? Like,
this is one of the reasons level? I miss having my dogs. And my husband and I are, by the way, at an impasse because I want to go and adopt all the dogs from the shelter. And he's like, he's a little nervous about shelter dogs. So if you're on Twitter, don't tell him I put you up to it. He's not here and he can't hear me. don't tell him that I put you up to this, but just be like, hey, have you just act like it's totally natural that you're bringing up shelter dogs to him and make him feel comfortable about it, but not in a weird way. Because we are at an impasse right now on that. But see, this is why I miss having dogs, because dogs can sniff out a BSer.
Right.
If a dog doesn't like you, then you're not, you shouldn't be liked.
Yeah, so what if Commander's just biting all the right people and we're getting the whole story wrong?
Secret Service guys, though?
I don't know.
I don't know about that. I don't know. But apparently, Biden accused a member of his own detail about lying after Major, the dog. I thought it was, well, there was one, Commander was one, Major was the other. Major apparently attacked one guy, and Biden accused the guy who got attacked of lying about it. You know, like the time they accused the guy of hitting and killing his first wife and said he was drunk when actually she ran a stop sign. And yeah, she was at fault, but whatever. So he apparently got, all these guys got bit. And all these documents show that, I mean, there were holes in agents' suits because the dogs were biting them and ripping their suits. And it wasn't just one dog, it was two dogs. I understand maybe if you get one dog every now and then that has something wrong maybe with it and is not, it's just a mean dog. It's very rare. It's 99.9% of the time it's the owners. And you can't, I think people want Belgian Malinois and German Shepherds because they think they look tough and cool, but they're absolute jack wagons who don't know how to train dogs. I think the Bidens wanted these dogs because they thought they were cool, trendy dogs. You can't get a Belgian Malinois and not train it, you absolute clown hat. What is the matter with you? You can't get a German Shepherd, and I say this as somebody who had a German Shepherd growing up, you can't get a German Shepherd and not train a German Shepherd. These are dogs that have to be trained. Good heavens. If you can't train them, do the world a favor and don't get it. That's his problem.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
The party formerly of the moral majority is now, I suppose, hoping to fashion some kind of immoral majority to reinstate Donald Trump as president.
What in the world is this immoral majority?
Deplorables.
It's like they want to lose. There's no greater way than getting people. You know what? One thing that the right does not like is when you call them names for how they vote. And then you're going to make people, you know what's going to happen? They're going to make people who don't even like Trump go, you know what? Blank you. And then they go out and vote for Trump. That's what's going to happen. They're going to keep pushing it and keep pushing it. And then that's what they're going to do. That's what Hillary did. Immoral majority. What's immoral, Adam Schiff? Tell me what's immoral. You're the guy who votes for abortion on demand funded by taxpayer dollars up until the moment of birth, because you were one of the guys who also endorsed that thing and said that you would back a House complement to the bill that was in the Senate that backed that. That was came into play in the 22, in the special elections right after 2020, actually. So tell me.
And he was dumb enough to be duped by two Russian comedians acting like they had some dirt on Trump. Like, yeah. He was actually caught on tape acting as though these comedians, he was really going to get some dirt on Trump from these comedians. Like, this guy is completely worthless at that level.
Yeah.
I mean, he's beneficial for Democrats, but he's worthless for the country.
I'm so tired of, I hate that. I just hate this stuff. Oh, an immoral majority.
Oh. Today's stupidity is an immoral majority, right?
I could go off on this for a little bit, but we're out of time and I'm cutting into King's Today in Stupidity. Go ahead. Go, sir.
Juan, just play it. Just listen to this crap here.
LA City Council members Hugo Soto Martinez and Nithya Raman were on hand today to help remove the signs. They say the no cruising and no U-turn signs were put up in the 1990s to prevent people in the gay community.
Whatever the problem was with those signs, now that they're removed, it's fixed, right? We don't have the problem anymore because they took down a U-turn sign or a no U-turn sign.
Yeah, no cruising sign.
So whatever the problem was, taking down the signs fixed it.
Ooh,
but don't drive on that.
There you go. And there it is, folks. That does it for us this week. I hope you have a great week and happy Father's Day to all of the amazing dads out there. We love you. We're grateful for you. I'll be back with you Monday.